How to Train Your Dragon by Cressidia Cowell, read by Mrs. McMillan with permission from Little Brown and Company. A note from the hero. There were dragons when I was a boy. There were great, grim sky dragons that nested on cliff tops like gigantic, scary birds. Little brown, scuttly dragons that hunted down the mice and the rats in well-organized packs. There were preposterously huge sea dragons that were 20 times as big as the big blue whale and who killed for the fun of it. You will have to take my word for it, for the dragons are disappearing so fast they may soon become extinct. Nobody knows what is happening. They are crawling back into the sea from whence they came, leaving not a bone, not a fang in the earth for the men of the future to remember them by. So in order that these amazing creatures should not be forgotten, I will tell you this true story from my childhood. I was not the sort of boy who could train a dragon with mere lifting of an eyebrow. I was not a natural as at the heroism business. I had to work at it. This is the story of becoming a hero the hard way. Chapter 1. First, catch your dragon. Long ago, on the wild and windy Isle of Burke, a smallish Viking with a longish name stood up to his ankles in snow. Hiccup, horrendous, Haddock the Third, the hope and the hair of to the tribe of the hairy hooligans, had been feeling slightly sick ever since he woke up that morning. 10 boys, including Hiccup, were hoping to become full members of the tribe by passing the dragon initiation program. They were standing on a bleak little beach at the bleakest spot on the whole bleak island. A heavy snow was falling. "Pay attention!" screamed Goober, the Belch, the soldier in charge of teaching initiation. "This will be your first military operation, and Hiccup will be commanding the team." "Oh, not Hiccup!" groaned Dog's Breath, the Death Brain, the most and most of the other boys. "You can't put Hiccup in charge. Sir, he's useless." Hiccup Horrendous, Haddock the Third, the hope and the hair to the tribe of the hairy hooligans, wiped his nose miserably on his sleeve, and he sank a little deeper in the snow. "Anybody would be better than Hiccup," sneered Snotface Snotlout. "Even Fishlegs would be better than Hiccup." Fishlegs had a squint that made him as blind as a jellyfish and an allergy to reptiles. "Silence!" roared Gobber the Belch. "The next boy to speak has limpets for lunch for the next 3 weeks." There was absolute silence immediately. Limpets are a bit like worms and a bit like snot and a lot less tasty than either. "Hiccup will be in charge, and that is an order," screamed Gobber, who didn't do noises quieter than screaming. He was a 7-foot giant with a mad glint in his one working eye and a beard like exploding fireworks. Despite the freezing cold, he was wearing hairy shorts and teeny-weeny deerskin vest that showed off his lobster-red skin and bulging muscles. He was holding a flaming torch in one gigantic fist. "Hiccup will be leading you, although he is admittedly completely useless, because Hiccup is the son of the chief, and that's the way things go with us Vikings. Where do you think you are? The Republic of Rome? Anyway, that is the least of your problems today. You are here to prove yourself as a Viking hero, and this is an ancient tradition of the hooligan tribe that you should..." Gobber paused dramatically. "First, catch your dragon." "Oh, suffering scalps," thought Hiccup. "Our dragons are what set us apart," bellowed Gobber. "Lesser humans train hawks to hunt for them, horses to carry them. It is only the Viking heroes who dare to tame the wildest, most dangerous creatures on earth." Gobber spat solemnly into the snow. "There are 3 parts to the dragon initiation test. The first and most dangerous part of the test of your courage and skill at burglary. If you wish to enter the hairy hooligan tribe, you must first catch your dragon. And that is why," continued Gobber at full volume, "I have brought you to this scenic spot. Take a look at the wild dragon cliff itself." The 10 boys tipped their heads backward. The cliff loomed dizzyingly above them, black and sinister. In summer, you could barely even see the cliff as dragons of all shapes and sizes swarmed over it, snapping and biting and sending up a cacophony of noise that could be heard all over Burke. But in winter, the dragons were hibernating, and the cliff fell silent, except for the ominous low rumble of their snores. Hiccup could feel the vibration through his sandals. Now, said Gobber, do you notice that those four caves about halfway up the cliff group roughly in the shape of a skull? All the boys nodded. Inside the cave, that would be the right eye of the skull, is the dragon nursery, where this very moment 3,000 young dragons are having their last few weeks of winter sleep. Ooh, murmured the boys excitedly. Hiccup swallowed hard. He happened to know considerably more about dragons than anybody else there. Ever since he was a small boy, he'd been fascinated by the creatures. He'd spent hour after long hour dragon watching in secret. Dragon spotters were thought to be geeks and nerds, hence the need for secrecy. And what Hiccup had learned about dragons told him that walking into a cave with 3,000 dragons in it was an act of madness. No one else seemed too concerned, however. In a few minutes, I want you to take one of these baskets and start climbing the cliff, commanded Gobber the Belch. Once you're in the cave entrance, you are on your own. I am too large to squeeze in my way into the tunnels that lead to the dragon nursery. You will enter the cave quietly, and that means you too, Warty Hog, unless you want to become the first spring meal for 3,000 hungry dragons. Ha 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 ha! Gobber laughed heartily at his little joke and then continued. Dragons this size are normally fairly harmless to man, but in these numbers they will set upon you like piranhas, and there'd be nothing left of even a fatso like you, Warty Hog. Just a pile of bones and your helmet. Ha ha ha! So you will walk quietly through the cave, and each boy will steal one sleeping dragon. Lift the dragon gently from the rock and place him in your basket. Any questions so far? Nobody had any questions. In the unlikely event that you do wake the dragons, and you would have to be idiotically stupid to do so, run like the thunder for the entrance of the cave. Dragons do not like cold weather, and the snow will probably stop them in their tracks. Probably, thought Hiccup. Oh, that's reassuring. I suggest you spend a little time choosing your dragon. It is important to get the correct size. This will be the dragon that hunts fish for you, pulls down deer for you. You will catch the dragon that will carry you into battle later on and when you are much older, warrior of the tribe. But nonetheless, you want an impressive animal. So a rough guide would be, choose the biggest creature that will fit into your basket. But don't linger too long in there. Linger, thought Hiccup. In a cave full of 3,000 sleeping dragons? I need not tell you, Gobber continued cheerfully, that if you return to this spot without a dragon, it is hardly worth coming back at all. Anybody who fails this task will be put into immediate exile. The hairy hooligan tribe has no use for failures. Only the strong can belong. Unhappily, Hiccup looked around the distant horizon. Nothing but snow and sea as far as the eye could see. Exile didn't look too promising either. Right, said Gobber briskly. Each boy take a basket to put their dragon in and we'll get going. The boys rushed to get their baskets, chattering happily and excitedly. I'm going to get one of those monstrous nightmare ones with the extra extendable claws. They're really scary, boasted Snout Lot. Oh, shut up, Snout Lout. You can't, said Speedy Fist. Only Hiccup can have a monstrous nightmare. You have to be the son of the chief. Hiccup's father was Stoag the Vast, the fearsome chief of the Hairy Hooligan tribe. Hiccup? Sneered Snout Lout. If he's as useless at this as he is at Bashy Ball, then we'll be lucky if he even gets one of the basic browns. The basic browns was the most common type of dragon, a serviceable beast, but without much glamour. Shut up and get into line, you miserable tadpoles, yelled Gobber the Belch. The boys scrambled into their places, baskets on their back, and stood at attention. Gobber walked along the line, lighting the torch that held each boy in front of him, with a great flare in his hand. In half an hour's time, you will be a Viking warrior with your faithful serpent at your side. The common or garden and the basic brown. The common or garden basic brown dragons are so similar that they can be dealt together. They are the most familiar breeds, the one we instantly think of when we think of dragons. They are poor hunters, but they are easy to train. These dragons are the best kind for family pets, although as with a lion or a tiger, you should never be left alone unsupervised with young children. If you do not return in half an hour, or breakfasting with a wooden in Valhalla with dragon's teeth in your bottom, screamed Gobber with horrible enthusiasm. Death or glory, yelled Gobber. Death or glory, yelled eight boys back at him fanatically. Death, thought Hiccup and Fishleg sadly. Gobber paused dramatically with the horn to his lips. I think this could possibly be the worst moment of my life so far, thought Hiccup to himself, as he waited for the blast of the horn. And if they shout much louder, we're going to wake up the dragons before we even start. Brrr! Gobber blew the horn.